Hello, this is episode number 4 of the Foodie Flashback. I'm already at number 4. This is crazy. Today's guest is someone. We actually have two guests.
Who has his daughter
today.
In the background.
Yeah. We actually have
maybe
two guests.
Maybe three.
It's someone I met, like, I don't know how long ago, like six years, right? Macworld.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, 6 Macworld years. 2014. Yeah.
Maybe in like Tua, in the actual channel a long time ago, but yeah, it's been.
Yeah. Yeah, probably like that. But like we basically, I mean, funny story, like we grew up not too far apart from each other, like at least some extent.
Nah, both, 3 hours isn't far at all.
No, exactly. both somehow ended up in Doc's like area somehow, like gotten to know him. So
isn't that a lot of things go?
Yeah, it's kind of like
somehow Doc's involved.
Yeah, he's always involved. Yeah, anyway, it's Jerry.
Hi.
Hi. Okay.
I don't know what else to say. Oh my god. After being stuck in the house for so long, you kind of lose the capability to communicate with people.
Social skills at all.
What are those?
Well, you didn't have them. Exactly. It's true.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway. Oh my god, there you go, singing.
It's awesome. It's life. It's life. It's fine. So tell me a little bit about like yourself, like where did you start like cooking, or like I mean maybe let's start simple. Do you consider yourself a foodie?
I enjoy good food, but I don't think that makes me a foodie. So, mm-hmm. I kind of enjoy just finding new recipes, kind of messing around with it. Since I'm married, my wife is Japanese. We kind of do a little bit of fusion, a little bit of European, like Asian fusion, which is kind of interesting all the time. But like food comes out pretty good.
German-Japanese fusion.
Hey, I've seen the Japanese restaurants. Like you have the Hofbrauhaus in München. Mm. Right across the street, you had a Japanese restaurant owned by a Japanese person and the person she married in Germany. So it's kind of crazy. But it's kind of interesting just to combine everything. Mm. But I mean, as long as the food's good, I'll try it once. If I like it, I'll make it again. If I don't like it, it'll get pushed to the side and I won't make it again.
I mean, that's kind of like how I want to say most food actually happens. I mean, you see something you like or you think you will like, you try it, you see how it go. You change it if it doesn't, or you just discard it and say, yeah, that wasn't very interesting. Mm. Yeah, that's kind of it. So, I mean,
like monkfish liver. I was going to bring that out there. Just, oh my god, it was horrible. That is all.
I've never tried that. Can you describe that? Like,
you know, liver you still have that kind of metallic taste, but it's hard to describe. I didn't like the taste at all. It might have been because I didn't have it super fresh, but because usually the stuff here, you know, has to be flown out or it's frozen once before. But I really don't know how to describe it. It was just questionable at best.
Bad fish and liver. Something like that?
See, good liver, when you cook it well, is amazing. My grandma used to be able to hide that really well, like the flavor. But just this was raw and horrendous.
Okay. So judging from like what you just said, like you started cooking with your grandma?
I ate the food she cooked. I really didn't care about cooking at all, to tell you the truth.
You cared about
even
eating.
In college. Yeah, I cared about eating, getting fat. Pretty much I spent most of the time just watching her. It was kind of cool watching art, but I always cared more about the end product, not the actual journey to get to that product. And then slowly but surely, when I went to college, I started having no choice but to learn how to cook. So I kind of picked up cooking a little bit more. And then I met my wife. And then she kind of, we cooked a lot more. She did more of the cooking than I did. And now we kind of just take turns. But her food's amazing. You should really have her on the show one of these days.
Oh, well, we'll definitely do that. I'll add her to the list. So what kind of food did your grandma cook? Maybe just start there.
Was it like just a lot of traditional German food, if you think about it, like schnitzel? If you look at it, she a lot of baked goods. So you look at stuff like Kirschstrudel, Apfelstrudel. Oh goodness, Kaiserschmarrn, just things like that were kind of just over time she just learned how to make it, and it was like all from memory. Mm-hmm. So she didn't really have recipes. She
like kind grandma's of just cook. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hey, can I get the recipe? And she's like, yeah, you have to do this. This is the, these are the ingredients, but I can't give you the amounts. Mm-hmm. It's by taste. I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's the, this looks about right method of cooking, right?
Yeah. And for some odd reason, for her, it's like, it works amazingly well. Mm-hmm. For me, not so much. I need my method. Mm-hmm. And then the ingredients, and then I'll adjust from there.
Mm-hmm.
I need a starting point.
So you're more the follow the recipe first, like type of person.
And then I'll adjust it.
Mm-hmm. So you'll do the recipe like once as written, and then you'll adjust, or you'll adjust it right away.
Some of the stuff I'll adjust right away because mm-hmm. I know I need to make more for, let's say, this thing is like one serving. You're like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's not going to feed the family. Then well, I kind of
okay. I mean, that's not an adjustment. That's like that's not really just like okay, scale it up.
It can be though, because sometimes you think you scale it up and mm-hmm. it's you think it'll work well, and then you scale it up and it tastes like crap, even though like the one time scale, no mm-hmm. problem. But you go three times, four times, mm-hmm. the whole flavor of the product changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I've had that. So, I mean, yeah, like traditional German things. I mean, I know them. like, I mean, the area she's from, I mean, I've met her, so I know like a little bit about it. Like, that's like Southern German, right? More like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like Southern, even like a little bit Austrian, I'm hearing. Like the strudel things are like more Austrian.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
it seems like it's a nice mixture of different areas in Europe mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that kind of get thrown in, I noticed. It's something you think that's like fully German. Mm-hmm. It turns out it's from some totally different country.
Yeah. I mean, I think state, that, I should. Well, that's that in general. Like, I mean, the British, like apple pie, that's not really British and like all of that.
Or a lot of the curries mm-hmm. that you eat.
Yeah, it's in true.
Like Indian restaurant, and you're like, this actually turns out it was a British thing that mm-hmm. they like, what?
That's true. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about, like, I mean, when you went to your grandma, you said, like, she would cook. Did she cook a lot, or was that more like a, whatever, once a week thing?
Every day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Mm-hmm. So she would be in the kitchen all day?
Not all day. She kind of had it down to science, I would say. But sometimes, yeah, she was in there mm-hmm. all day. Like, when you started making the strudel from scratch,
mm-hmm.
I mean, work that goes into it is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole table was covered with the I'm going to mispronounce this. I think it's the phyllo dough,
mm-hmm.
and then she puts the actual ingredients on it and folds it together. I mm-hmm. mean, one little mistake, you can tear the dough, and then it kind of yeah. causes an issue.
Yeah, yeah, and then it spills out when you bake it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, so I mean, it sounds like food was still very important for your family. I mean, if your grandma is cooking all day. Like, or basically at least all week. Food was important for a family, right?
Yeah, it kind of brought everyone together at the dinner mm-hmm. table, breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. So you kind of all sat down, had some good food, and then just discussed like the day's happenings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did she also do, or did you get together like with a bigger family for like special occasions, like whatever, Christmas or anything like that?
We had aunts came over. We had like friends, family mm-hmm. friends come over. So it was a boatload of people that kind
of and a boatload of food.
And a boatload of food, yeah. Because you had her cooking and she's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to make enough for everyone. And you had people bring in more food and it just kind of got insane after a while. And there was always leftovers for like the next couple of days.
Yeah. Sounds like grandma's, right?
Yeah. Or the whole, you know, you need to eat this. You look skinny and you're like already overweight.
Exactly. Like, you should eat more.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's kind of interesting because it's on a tangent. You see this in like a lot of cultures. Like, for example, like Mexican side mm-hmm. of everything. Same thing. You had like the grandmas, the abuelitas, I believe. I always get that wrong. My Spanish has kind of suffered last couple of years. You have like, I'm not to use it. But same thing, where like you're going to eat mm-hmm. your food and I'm going to put more on your plate and you're going to eat it and you have mm-hmm. no choice. And if you say no, you're going to get in trouble.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of cultures have that. I mean, like, I'm thinking Italian, like the Italian nonna.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, I mean, basically, if you're not eating, you're doing it wrong. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. to some extent. At some point, it gets unhealthy, I would say.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, like, Is there a reason why you weren't interested in cooking at that point, or was it just something like you were busy doing other things?
Just no interest at all. Mm. I didn't have to do it. It wasn't a need.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was nice to have. Everyone else was doing it, so why should I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of selfish, but as a kid, I mean, what you expect?
You're a kid. I mean, there are a million and five things you could be doing. I mean, that wasn't one. Did your parents like cook at all, or was that more like a grandparents thing?
My mom did, mm-hmm. and my dad did less, but he did it more out of necessity. He can't, like, his background, his family just didn't have as much money, so mm-hmm. they had to make do with mm-hmm. like what materials they had on hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he had things like, you know, chicken dumplings, or he mixed together like mac and cheese, peas, and mm-hmm. goodness, tuna. Mm-hmm. He had like a tuna casserole.
Oh, yeah.
So you, whatever you had on hand, you were able to create mm-hmm. something out of it.
Mm-hmm. So that it was more like, as you said, like more functional almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, how do we get like all the different food groups together mm-hmm. into one meal?
Yeah. But I mean, it's also like sometimes that is also very interesting. I mean, you have a family, and sometimes, I mean, those dishes, they work. I mean, the mac and cheese, like, or we're going to talk about something similar later on. Like they're simple. They're easy to make, and they work. Mm. Like, they feed everybody. Everybody's happy. They taste good, usually. Yeah. Not always. Like, it depends.
The stuff he made was pretty good. And his cooking is amazing. I don't know if I told you the story about when we went to Curry House, Kokuichiban. So it's a little curry restaurant that
mm-hmm.
from Japan. There's, I think, two, three three stores open in the franchise here in
mm-hmm.
Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, this curry is amazing. And my dad took it as, hey, his curry isn't as good, so he never made curry again, which is kind of interesting. I was like, what the crap? Oh, no, I said, this is the best curry. That's why.
Okay. And he was so, like, okay.
So, yeah, and I was, oops.
Okay, yeah, well. But that means, I mean, he must have been proud of his curry until that point, right?
No, it was still really good. He mm-hmm. just never made it again. he was actually amazing, my dad, at making lasagna. I've not mm-hmm. had him make that for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but that was like his thing. He made it, and it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Like, did you ever cook with any family member, like dad, mom, grandma, like at all?
Usually,
or?
With my grandma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandma. She mm-hmm. usually had me do stuff. Like, hey, put this in there, do that. And then get out of the way. You're going to burn yourself. The usual.
<It's> like,
or when we made like noodles from scratch, for mm-hmm. example, in the noodle machine, mm-hmm. she had me like kind of push it through the machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that you weren't involved. You were just not, like, you would do it if you had to, but you weren't like very interested at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Like, you said, like, I mean, did you ever, like, grow up with, like, one of the topics in, like, past episodes with other people has been, like, the frozen, like, the TV dinners, the frozen, like, veggies, anything like that.
Mm.
Is that something, I mean, I remember that from my childhood. Is that something you somehow remember or connect with your childhood as well? Or is that,
oh, yeah.
Like, did you...
Like, with my mom and my dad, I mean, my dad, army, so he was deployed sometimes, mm-hmm. and then my mom had to take care of myself, sure. and sometimes when my sister came around, it was like two kids now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sometimes TV dinners is what it was, mm-hmm. because it was easy to make, quick sure. to make, to pop it in the microwave and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it was good. Some of them were decent, but I don't think anything was like, I would go out of the way to eat it, unless I really had no choice.
Yeah, yeah. Doc was really surprised that, like, the frozen veggies are, I mean, one, that they were a thing in Germany, and two, that they're still around to this day. And we're like, yeah, hey, you can still buy that, like the frozen spinach and whatever, peas and corn and whatever, carrots.
You know, I picked up a bag of frozen carrots. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When you eat, like, regular carrots that mm-hmm. haven't been frozen, and you make those from scratch, just mm-hmm. boiling them, for example, mm-hmm. or adding them to a dish, it's so much better when yeah. you get the fresh ones. The frozen, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a weird kind of, I wouldn't say a rubbery mm-hmm. feel, but it just doesn't feel right.
It's a weird texture, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. that is something that I very much connect with my childhood. I mean, we use quite a bit of, like, frozen veggies because, I mean, my mom when my mom was cooking, she didn't really enjoy it as much. Probably like your mom. She was like, oh, okay, we need food. Like, those damn kids need food, so let's do something. yeah. But she never like really enjoyed it that much. So to this day, like, I mean, she cooks well. Like, it's not that she can't, but
she cooks really well. Yeah. The rouladen that she made, yeah, was
she can.
Really good.
She can do it. It's just like, I mean, especially with like younger kids. I mean, like, my sister was probably like, whatever, 2-3 years old, like, back then. Like, I mean, you don't have the energy or the time. So a lot of like frozen veggies, and the texture was just, it's to this day something I can't stand. Like, everything was kind of mushy and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better. It's like more of an emergency thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, we had that a lot. I mean, there's this one soup I remember. It was basically like a vegetable stock from cubes. And then she threw in some sometimes fresh, sometimes frozen veggies. But at the point when she served the soup, it didn't matter. Like, it was all kind of cooked and mushy and like, it's weird.
Talking about soups, mm-hmm. My grandma used to make medelsuppe, and that was interesting because all it was like flour,
mm-hmm.
water, paprika. And that kind of made the base of your soup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made like dumplings, like same thing as spätzle. You just mm-hmm. put them into like knofle pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put those in the actual soup, cooked it. And at the end, you added in like a little bit of sour cream and mm-hmm. some vinegar to add some flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a bay leaf also. Sorry, I forgot the bay leaf that goes in there.
Very important.
And I mean, this sounds like so simple. And yeah. if you think about it, it's like, what? How the heck did you make something out of this? Mm-hmm. And then when you actually make it, it's actually an amazing soup. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's probably one of those like either peasant dishes or like, yep. I mean, she went through at least one world war, probably two, like age-wise. Yeah, probably at least the second world war. I mean, that's also like, I remember, I know that from my grandparents, like that soup particularly was one that was made a lot there because, I mean, that was like, you didn't need much. Like water,
the
flour.
Ingredients were available.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Water, flour. Something to spice it up. That's it. Like, yeah,
it was so good. I gotta actually make it again. She already knows how to make it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta actually bug her to make it again. I'll make the noodles,
mm-hmm.
And she can make the actual mm-hmm. soup itself.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. It's funny how this podcast always triggers like someone to say, "I should make this." I made spätzle, so we're going to talk about spätzle later. But I made spätzle after I talked to Doc about it. So,
hey, did you ask him if he cooked it yet? If he made it yet?
I have to ask him about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he said that he's going to make it yesterday. Well, mm-hmm. depending on when you actually post this podcast, it might have been like 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. No, we already posted it, so it's fine.
Okay.
No. So, like, after, like, I mean, you said, like, you didn't cook as much as a kid. Somehow that changed, like, later in life? So, like, why? Is it just because you moved out and, like, out of necessity you had to cook? Or was there something that sparked interest in it?
Well, I think it was a mixture of three things. It was, well, one was necessity, which is, I think, the most important reason. When you move out, parents aren't cooking anymore. You got to mm-hmm. fend for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Eating out got expensive, so it was better just to cook it by yourself.
Yeah.
And the third reason, which kind of I only recognized recently, is after a certain amount of time and you kind of hone your craft, you become a really good cook. Mm-hmm. And the food you make is actually really dang good.
Yeah.
And then you go to somewhere else and you pay like, you know, 15, 16 bucks and you're like, pardon the language, what is it? Oh, I was going to say something else, but what is this crap you're eating? And it's just like, I'm trying to keep you from getting explicit.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
No worries. Yeah, I try my best. But then you go there and you're like, wow, the stuff I made at home is actually really, really good compared to what I'm eating here. All I'm really now saving is time.
Mm-hmm.
And even that time is you still have to drive down there. You have to pick it up. You have to wait in the restaurant. It's not really that much time that's saved. Yeah,
I mean, it becomes time and experience. I mean, sometimes the experience is worth it if it's like a really cool environment. You're there with friends, whatever. It might be worth it, but you're right. I mean, it's about the like it becomes a point where it's like, I mean, sometimes you sit in a restaurant, you get food, and you're like, okay, I could have done this better in like less time and spend like less money on it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
like Käsespätzle.
I haven't tried the case pizza in Hawaii yet, so I can't tell.
I don't think most places don't make them anymore. No, the Cafe Laufer, the dude was, I think, went Swiss. I don't know if he was Swiss or he trained with a chef from Switzerland, but he used to make a lot of, like, during Oktoberfest, he used to make a lot of German, Austrian dishes, Swiss dishes also. So it was always really good. But everyone has their own way of making Käsespätzle, I noticed. So it's always a little bit different. But different cheeses that are used.
Isn't that food in general? Like, I mean, like a million different ways of doing the same thing?
Yeah, and that's what makes it amazing.
Exactly.
I mean, look at, what the heck was it? Ratatouille, for example. I think when the first time he like tasted the food and you could see like all those little color explosions, I think that's what it's
The movie, yeah.
Yeah, the movie, sorry, not the food. The Pixar movie. It's like, wait, what? What did you add to that ratatouille? but you kind of see, it's the same way. You kind of put stuff together and you get these amazing flavor combinations and you're like, wow, this is really good. Or, hey, this is bland. Or, hey, maybe I should add this.
Yeah, so, it's as you said, like, I mean, it's, that's why, like, someone, I think Ewan was it, he mentioned, like, he was like, oh, I should get on the show because I don't want anybody else to talk about, I don't want someone to pick trifle because that's his thing. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, there are probably 50 million trifles out there. And, like, it can be Ewan's trifle and, like, someone else can have their own and we can talk about it. Like, it's the same thing. Like, there's not, I mean, I'm not even sure I have ever cooked the same thing exactly twice. Like,
it's always a little different. Yeah. I mean, I try to make it the same as much as I can. Like even cookies, like there's so many different combinations for cookies that we kind of screwed around with it when I was baking, God, every other like week. No, actually every week we were baking like a chunk, huge chunk of cookies, like three dozen? Yeah, three dozen usually per batch or per set that we made. And I always tried messing around with little things. Hey, leave it in a little longer, change ingredients a little bit, make it more fluffy, make it crunchier, make it softer, make it softer inside, crunchy and outside. I mean, God, cookies can be anything.
it's so true. So what kind of food did you like start cooking like when you moved out?
Just basic stuff. The interesting thing is like the same stuff that my dad made. So, you know, throw in the mac and cheese, throw in a whole bunch of other things and get that kind of tuna casserole type thing going.
Did you start with like Kraft boxed mac and cheese or did you like make proper mac and cheese yourself?
Oh, no, because that was the cheapest. It was better to go from Kraft because that was the cheaper method to do it. You can get the boxes easily. So.
It's funny.
Oh, my God. There goes my daughter. I don't know if you heard her.
A little bit. It's so funny. No, it's funny. Like those like boxes. A lot of, I mean, they're crap, but a lot of people still really enjoy them. Like there's so many childhood memories. I mean, for you as well, kind of. I mean, you said like you basically did the same thing your dad did. So there must be some connection. Like you're like, hey, this is how you do it.
And then, I mean, I made like started making schnitzel, which came out horrible. Schupfnudeln, I made those also, but I'm an angry cook, and they didn't come out the way I wanted, and I just threw them away. And she was like, "You weren't that bad," and I was like, "No, this is crap. I'm throwing it away." And I'm like, just threw it away, and that was the end of that. She was like, "You're an angry cook." I was like, "I know."
So. I've never seen you cooking angry. That's funny.
Oh, it's because I've gotten better, so there's less mistakes.
Okay, so you only get angry when you make mistakes.
Yes.
Okay, that's probably why. Yeah. So did that evolve any at all from there? Like, I mean, you said you started with mac and cheese, schnitzel. I mean, at some point you like started cooking better, right?
Yeah, I mean, just. I threw in the Käsespätzle. I started putting that inside there. Mm-hmm. Started like baking cakes a little bit. A little more difficult now since we just have a convection oven, so it changes the method a bit.
It does, yeah.
So it kind of just if I like something, I try to find the recipe and recreate it. For example, here we have shoyu chicken, so which is pretty much sugar, shoyu, which I have to think about soy sauce. I had to think what the actual English name for it was. And then like a little bit of Worcestershire. I always get the W sauce because the thing has the dumbest name ever.
Worcester sauce, actually.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's actually Worcester. It's not Worcestershire or anything like that. It's Worcester.
I thought it was a place in the UK. Maybe you.
It is actually. No, it is. No, it actually is a it place. Is? It is, and it's called Worcester. Oh, it's like Gloucester and Worcester, like all those weird UK is weird.
I learned something new today then.
Good.
Oh my God.
No, that's
see,
funny.
We're learning.
That's funny.
So you throw it all together, you put mm-hmm. the chicken, mm-hmm. And then you're going to use, I used my favorite tool as of right now, which is the Instant Pot. Mm-hmm. And you kind of put it together and like for this chicken, so you put the chicken in there, the sauce together. Mm-hmm. It's only like it takes longer to prep the dang thing. Sorry. You can beep it if
fine.
You need to.
No, it's fine.
Then it, then it does to actually cook it. It's like 8 minutes on high mm-hmm. steam and then a quick release and it's, mm-hmm. or high pressure and then quick release. Mm-hmm. So it's like super quick to make it. And you have like this chicken that falls off the bone. Mm. It tastes really good. And it's just really good. I need to lower the sugar a bit though. I think, They request 2/3 cup sugar for that small amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of sugar.
Sounds like an American recipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also like what I'm hearing is like, it's very, I mean, easy to prepare, right? I mean, you can prepare that mm-hmm. and then later on throw it in the cooker real quick, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing too, is we started, used to always out for curry. Mm-hmm. Shiori started making curry by hand, which took forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started making Instant Pot Japanese curry. And that was like super quick. Mm-hmm. Again, the prep took like 20, 30 minutes and the cooking itself took mm-hmm. like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And once it was done, the meat always came out tender. Mm-hmm. Even if you had like crappy cuts of meat, it came out tender. And you had like just an amazing amount of flavor. Mm-hmm. inside there, and then you let it sit for a day because you always have leftovers. The next day the thing was even more mm-hmm. like flavorful than it mm-hmm. was before. It's just kind of awesome. Yeah. The Instant Pot is my favorite tool right now. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep on the virtues of the Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's such an old idea. It still works. Like an instant, I mean, Instant Pot, that's like, I mean, that has been around for forever. Like it's basically the slow cooker of whatever, your grandma.
Yeah, no, she yeah. had one. She used to always make a pale kartoffeln inside
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and potatoes. That thing took forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
So,
yeah.
And now you have this machine that I can hook up to my iPhone, tell it to, hey, do this, do that. Mm-hmm. And it finishes it. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. Or it's like multi-purpose too. We don't have a lot of space in our mm. apartment now. So this thing, you can saute, you can, mm. I've seen people make yogurt. I mean, you can do so mm. many stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. The guy who made it was smart.
Yes, very smart. Very crafty, very smart.
So, yeah.
Took an old idea and just made it popular.
That's usually the best way to go about mm-hmm. it. Take something, improve it immensely, mm-hmm. and then kind of mm. release it to the wild.
Yeah, exactly. So, we've kind of danced around the Spätzle topic. I mean, it's kind of connected to like where you grew up and your grandma, obviously. I mean, that's the Spätzle area, basically. Yeah. But for the people who don't know what it is, how would you describe it?
Just egg noodles with cheese, sauteed onions, and goodness, that's about
it. That's it. Yeah,
it's pretty simple. Well, I've seen some people, they add in like a little bit of bacon also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've
like
seen that.
The kind of pan, no, I wouldn't say pan fry, but where it's not like crispy, but it's just that right amount where it's still leaking off the fats mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. kind of get mixed into the Käsespätzle.
It's usually, so. I would bake it probably for a couple of minutes. Yeah. So why is this your special, like your special dish or like the thing you care most about?
So it's kind of interesting. I might have to change up on it, caring the most about it, but the two dishes I usually asked for were Mädelsuppe for my grandma mm-hmm. and Käsespätzle, mm-hmm. and she always made it. And usually with the Käsespätzle, we had like a nice salad on the side too, mm-hmm. just lettuce with a little bit of like the dill sauce, like a little bit of vinegary kind of
mm-hmm.
sauce
mm-hmm.
on it. And it was just always amazing. Mm-hmm. So it was so simple, but it tasted so good.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, you enjoyed it as a kid. Like, what was it? Like, was it just the cheese or the, like, what made it special for you?
Do you remember?
Made it,
so that's kind
of okay. Well, okay.
The flavor. I think mm-hmm. the flavor was, it's just the mm-hmm. cheese added so much flavor. You had a little bit of meat inside there. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was kind of fun to mess around with because you had, like, the cheese string mm-hmm. and you were, like, pulling it up to your mouth. So
yeah.
It's just enjoyable. Yeah. And eating it was fun too. And you always get the cheese stuck everywhere. And...
it's true. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also, I mean, it's kind of the, I want to say the pasta dish of that, like that region. I mean, a lot of other kids, they're like spaghetti or anything like that. My kids are like basically any noodle with butter and salt. But I think it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like it's a pasta dish, kind of. Just the German version of it.
Everyone always says it's like the American mac and cheese, but I don't think that's a good comparison. It's totally different level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like from the like people. I don't know. Like it's really hard to tell. I think in some areas and to some extent, yes, because like a lot of people really love it and really, really like have fond memories of it. On the other hand, it's not as widespread, I think. I mean, mac and cheese is almost universal. I mean,
oh God,
in the US, yeah. Like it's basically everywhere. It's not the same in Germany. Definitely not. Like it's more like a southern, it's kind of like more like a cornbread. It's more like a southern thing. So
they'll get me started on good cornbread. Used to hate cornbread when I ate it at school, but then when I actually had some really like well-made cornbread, it was just night and day difference.
So what's the difference like in cornbread, like between like a school cornbread and a good one?
Consistency and flavor, I think. Mm-hmm. Like when you eat the school one, it was like really mealy. It was kind of salty. Mm-hmm. Compared to like a sweet cornbread that you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the salt overpowered the sweetness inside of it. So, and it was just kind of overcooked more likely too, because it was, I bet you, pre-made, put into like a oven and served to the kids.
Yeah. I mean, and also probably like very few spices. It was like minimal amount of ingredients that you can get away with. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah. The good stuff, I can't go wrong with. There's actually a really good, I don't think we went there when you came to visit Hawaii, but there's a, goodness, what the heck was the name for now? Hughley's. It's a southern kind of southern food restaurant, like comfort food.
We did go to one. I don't remember the name though, but we did. Like we had, I had cornbread, I had hush puppies there. We had.
Okay, that's where it was. Yeah. It was that one then.
Yeah. Oh, and that was good.
Yeah.
That was seriously good.
No, it was amazing. I need to go see if that place is still open. I got to give them some money and pick up some food. They had the best banana pudding on the island, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So do you have any, like, I mean, we talked about Germany, but I mean, it sounds like you also have a little bit of a connection to like the South and Southern, like American Southern food.
Oh yeah. I just lived in Texas for a nice chunk of time. So the interesting thing is like, Tex-Mex and even Mexican food was never kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was more for like the barbecues, like meat and potatoes type stuff.
So, it's still German.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, there's a lot. There's like a huge like German influence in Texas, if you look at it.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have like Neubraunfels, for example. You have like even one town over from where I used to live, there used to be a really good German restaurant, and it's still there. So last time I went to visit my mom, first place I went, I was like, I went down to that restaurant. I drove from Austin to that restaurant in Lancaster. And me dressed in like an aloha shirt. So everyone's looking at you funny because, you know, you're wearing shorts and aloha shirt coming into like a German restaurant, sitting by yourself and eating and just heading out again.
It's like, what's that weirdo doing there?
Yeah. It's like, who the heck?
Yeah. I mean, like, why did you go to that restaurant? Like, what was like, what drew you to it?
I used to always go there when we used to live there. And the flavor was good. It wasn't too expensive. We used to know, I think the owners, it's still the same owners, and just the kids took over. So kind of looks like it's been around for a while.
It's like a family thing, basically. Like you kind of friends with everybody. And
my mom goes there. So she knows, like she's been going to that place often. If she doesn't cook it at home, she goes there to pick it up or eat there.
Yeah, I mean, those are the best places, to be honest. Like, I mean, I have a lot of experience and a lot of friends in that area as well. Like, I mean, restaurants that, I mean, even we went, like, when we were traveling around, like, we went to a couple that, like, where I like know everybody, because exactly the same thing. Like, I mean, it's kind of like your parents went there every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, every month, and you just like gotten to know everyone, like became friends, kind of.
Well, it used to be the same as the place we went to, kind of in Germany. I forgot the name for it now. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, with my grandma, we used to go with the family. Mm-hmm. Albert was the owner. I don't know if he went with us to that. Mm-hmm. Went there again. Oh, no, it was with Shiori. It's mm-hmm. Shiori. You went for that one. Mm-hmm. It was Shiori and Sophia. We're like, I really want to go. My grandma's like, you really don't want to go. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, that's not right. Why the heck would you say that? Blah, blah, blah. Let's mm-hmm. go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. We go there, and it turns out that the daughter took over because mm-hmm. Albert kind of just retired. He's older mm-hmm. now, right? He's doing sure. his thing.
Yeah.
But she changed the whole menu around. So she went to like, what the heck was the term for it? Eco, like, goodness, I forgot the name for it now. Just,
I don't know.
all natural bio, like, type thing. So mm-hmm. they got, yeah. I was like, wait, all the stuff he was making was coming from his farm anyway. I don't know.
How much more organic can it be?
But they ruined like the Hochzeitsuppe. Mm-hmm. They ruined that. I mean, it was just disappointing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my grandma was right. I should listen to her. I had to experience it for myself. And I was just kind of really sad. Even, I guess, Albert was like trying to tell his daughter, it's like, hey, you should really maybe not go this route. Mm-hmm. But hey, she owns it now.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, we're going down our own route.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, which is fine. I mean, it can work or it can't. Like, I mean, you never know. Like, taking over and doing the same thing that every, like, previous, like, whatever the family has been doing for forever, sometimes also doesn't work because it's just not the same. It's not the same people, not the same exact thing. So, yeah, you never know. I know that you don't have too much time, but there's one thing I want to, like, dive into a little bit still.
Okay.
The whole, like, I mean, I think it's super, super interesting, the whole Japanese influence. I mean, with your wife being Japanese and whatever. How has that influence the way you think about food or how you cook?
I don't think it changed much, actually. Mm. I used to always kind of, well, when I was younger, I was really picky, but as I got older, I kind of threw that to the side.
Mm.
Like, even the first time I went to Japan, or first time I came to Hawaii, for example, I didn't really eat with chopsticks at all. My friends introduced me to it. I ate sushi for the first time. Mm-hmm. I kind of ate, you know, rice kind of picked up in my life. ate a lot of like local food and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, who is doing the freaking weeds outside? So kind of just picked up there. First time I went to Japan, I tried everything. Like anything that was put in front of me, I tried. So I kind of became more adventurous, I guess. Mm-hmm. Tried new stuff,
mm-hmm.
But that I never did. So maybe it influenced me a little bit, but I was just super picky when I was young, and I became more adventurous as I grew older.
Yeah, I think most people do that, though. I mean, it's a question like how much, like, but at least my experience is like, I mean, kids are super picky usually. I mean, don't put anything green in front of a kid. Usually they're like, ooh, it's green. Must be bad.
Sophia, I'm actually surprised. Mm. She loves like broccoli. Mm-hmm. She eats asparagus. She eats tofu.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually a really good eater. And mm-hmm. It stays. We'll see what
Wait
happens.
Wait for it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for
change.
It. I'm waiting
it's going to change. No, so. But as I said, like, I think, kids are usually a little bit more picky. And then as you grow older, you get more adventurous as you age, get more mature, think about things differently. I mean, we had a discussion with Doc about cabbage, for example. Like, he's like, I hated cabbage as a kid, and now I love it. Like, do you have any food like that, where like something that you hated as a kid and couldn't eat, and now you're like, hey, this is the best thing ever?
No, but more drinks like coffee. I used to hate coffee, mm-hmm. and I'm drinking black coffee, and mm-hmm. it needs to be nice, good coffee.
Yeah.
So, but food-wise, I don't know.
Well, coffee counts. Like, coffee is kind of a food, too.
It's just, I'm trying to think of anything. No, I think it kind of, I just opened up. There's nothing wait, there's one thing. I just remembered Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. Screw those things. but then I tried them, like, really well made, mm-hmm. and my mom, when she made them, I apologize, mom. They were just bad, and she made me eat them. So I'm like,
I'm guessing she made it the German way, like cooked to basically mush.
They were like, no, yeah, it was pretty much no spices, nothing else with it. Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Like, I hated Brussels sprouts until I had them, actually in Phoenix, like, 2 years ago. First time I tried them, like, as a snack, with, like, a little, like, pan-fried with a little bacon. And I was like, okay, wow, this can actually be good. So, yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, I kind of wonder whether that's a German thing or whether that's just, like, a time thing where, like, maybe that was the way it was done in the past, and now it's...
No, I think she just did a bad job.
Well, then my mom did, too, and my dad, like, and my grandma, both my grandmas. Oh, no. So, I don't know.
What else is there? Well, so, actually, let me ask you a question. Mm? What was the rarest food you've eaten? Like,
the rarest, kind of
most exotic
food. Oh, that's difficult. I think alligator might have been it.
Oh, that stuff's good.
Yeah, alligator was good.
It with a little bit of honey. Mm-hmm. Honey Dijon mustard, dip it. And it's weird because it tastes like a really good steak and a little bit fishy. And you're like, wow, this is amazing.
For me, it was more like chicken.
Actually, that sounds good. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it was like chicken. I mean, which was fine with me. I'm like, well, I mean, ultimately, it wasn't that special. But yeah. What was your special food, do you?
I think the rarest thing I've had was whale.
Whale,
because I had to try it. Someone shared it with me, and I was like, "Crap, I don't want to eat this, but I don't want to be disrespectful."
Yeah,
so probably I tried in Japan. It, and it was just too fatty. Oh yeah,
yeah.
not my thing. Mm. It was really just fat. Mm. It was like I preferred bacon.
Yeah, bacon. Bacon makes everything bigger.
I also had real like mountain wasabi there, mm-hmm. so the stuff, and you can actually eat that stuff straight. Mm-hmm. Like when they kind of grate it onto the plate, you can get straight and it won't like crazy burn you like the horseradish stuff does. Mm-hmm. It's just was amazing.
All right. Is there anything else you want to share? Like any stories that came up or any food you... I mean, maybe let me ask a question instead. What's your favorite dish right now?
Ooh.
Or one of them. Many. Like, it doesn't have to be like one the favorite, one of the favorites right now.
So we actually had ahi sashimi, which is actually really good. And it's one of my favorite things. It's just actually the raw fish, well prepared, put onto a plate, presented nicely. And you don't eat it with shoyu, with soy sauce. You don't eat it with anything else. You just eat it straight up and you get that nice flavor and just melts in your mouth. Mm-hmm. That's been like one of my favorites. For some thing that I make more often, I guess it would have to be the curry. Mm-hmm. Curry's just good. Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it.
It is.
It's just amazing. You put all that crap together, it congeals into this nice, like, would congeal, it makes it sound bad, but it kind of becomes like this nice mixture and it's just, you have all these different flavors inside of it. It's just awesome. So I'm going to go with the Japanese curry.
Okay, I have to look that up. I think I've never had a Japanese curry, so that's definitely something I will have to check.
Hey, next time you come visit.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll have Japanese curry. Good idea. All right. I think, is there anything you want to share? Or are you fresh out of stories?
Oh, I got plenty of stories, but I'll have to do part two somewhere along
good.
The way.
Good, we'll definitely do a part two. I don't want to eat up too much of your time. I know your family is waiting for you.
We're actually going to go pick up some soju. From it's a Japanese gentleman who opened up shop in Haleiwa, a small little town on North Shore. So he actually released a batch recently, and I put my name in. Like, just come pick it up. I was like, oh, cool. Get the family out a bit, drive down to North Shore. Where I could get pulled over by the police and like, why are you out and about? And like, I'm getting my alcohol. I can use it for like, I can use it to make like hand sanitizer if I need to.
Sanitize it from the inside.
Yeah. So, actually, I'll let you know how that sochu goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all like, I think he uses local ingredients. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see like how it actually tastes. It's like, I think 44% alcohol. It's some crazy amount. Mm-hmm. It's more like you're going to make me go blind.
Maybe. All right. Then, let everybody know where people can find you.
Best thing is just look up Jerome Kohler anywhere from Twitter to Facebook, jeromekohler.com. I need to actually, I'll have a little bit more free time soon to update my site with tips. I'm usually tech side of things, but sometimes I throw food and recipes on there. I might just kind of mix it up and just make it a life blog.
Yeah, you should post some of the food you make, because I mean, Hawaii has amazing food. Like either you make or you eat, like there's so much.
Yeah, there's Loco Moco is where it's at, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Cuz you had one, right? When you came down.
Yep, we did.
Ah.
We did. Yep.
Good thing we did that.
Yeah, that's the one thing we did. No, it's not true. We did a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
Lots of walking.
Yeah, lots of walking too. Lots of beer, lots of like other good things. No, like I can definitely highly recommend Hawaii, like once you can travel again and you're all set.
If you come by, say hi to Doc or me, and we'll kind of take you around the island.
It's not that far.
No, it's not. That's why when people complain, I drove 15 minutes through traffic, and you're like, yeah, whatever.
It's like 15. You can go around the island in an hour, I think.
Never. Right now, maybe, because there's no traffic. Yeah. But usually there's crazy amounts of traffic.
So. That's true. All right. Yeah, you can find me also on Twitter and everything I do and all the Twitter links and everything on thepatrice.com. And you can find this very podcast on Twitter at Foodie Flashback. There's a website as well, foodieflashback.com. If you have a story to tell, foodie or not, doesn't matter whether you have ever done a podcast or not. You know, you see, I dragged Jerry into this. Like, he didn't want to do it at first, and we're like, hey, you have to do this. Like, anybody can do it. If you have a story to tell, reach out to me either on Twitter or there's a little form on foodieflashback.com. Just fill that out, and I'll be in touch, and then we'll set something up. And yeah, that's it. See you next time.